Well, we're already to the 11th Sunday in the season after Pentecost. As you recall, Pentecost was when the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples, and they are sent out into the world to be about the work that has been prepared for them. During this season, we use the color green to signify life and growth, and it's meant to be a time when we're growing in our understanding of what it means to be a disciple and in our faith. So during the season, we often have texts that help us to better understand what it means when we say that we are disciples of Jesus the Christ. So when I was thinking about that, this text was a little bit of a stumper for me. How are we to be growing in our faith in our text for today? And really, what it came down to for me when I was thinking about my congregation, the Church of Steadfast Love, is that our hearts be open so that we recognize Jesus in the world around us. And we and our ears be open that we hear his word and begin to understand what it means for us. And I say that because we have this kind of trivia question in our text for today. When Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Can you frame it in the form of a question, your response? And they do tell him some of their thoughts on who he is. Some say John the Baptist. So you'll recall that John has been beheaded. Perhaps he is back. Some say Elijah, a prophet that also could be restored to life. And still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So if you remember the role of a prophet, yes, he has it down back there. That is the role of the prophet. That is to speak God's word, to call us back into relationship with God, to remind us whose we are and what that means. So you can see why people would think that Jesus is one of the prophets of old, right? He's telling people the good news. He's reminding them of who God is and what that means. But what are some of the dangers in this text of choosing who you think Jesus is? And Jesus is, I think, kind of testing the waters here when he turns the question then to his disciples. But who do you say that I am? We might not all have the same answer as Simon Peter here. And I think we might say the answer because we know that that is the answer now that Jesus is looking for. But who is Jesus for us in our lives, and why is this question so important? For many people, Jesus is just a great man in history, right? I hear that at my congregation as people come to the doors at the Compass Housing Alliance looking for someone to talk to or argue with. I get a lot of people who come to argue. That's okay. I can handle that, I guess. Jesus is just a remarkable man in history that had some good things to say. You read the scriptures, you see many people follow Jesus because he was healing the sick. You yourself might be sick, or a loved one be sick, even unto the point of death, and we would really love to have a Jesus who we can call on and will just heal us, right? Or heal our loved ones. Some probably thought of him more as a magician, somebody who comes and does magical things, makes the blind to see, the lame to walk. The reason that Peter is blessed in this text is because he sees that Jesus really is more than any of just these things. He is the Messiah, the one coming into the world, the one they have been waiting for from the beginning of time to restore them in relationship to God. He is their Savior. He is our Savior, the only Son of the living God. And why is it so important to put that living God in there? because so many were wont to worship gods of their own making, and we're still there in this day, right? But in the Old Testament especially, we have some things which we kind of laugh about. You would go cut down a tree, use half to warm your meal, and the other half you would carve into a god to worship. So that's why they're saying, Son of the Living God, this God who is alive and active, who is seeing to our needs, who's not just some thing we are praying to that cannot hear us and respond. Our God is a living God, calling us to faithfulness, calling us to life, calling us back into relationship with himself. He says, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Some recognition that we can't come to understand just exactly who Jesus is on our own, but we need God to reveal it to us, and we need our hearts and our eyes and our minds to be open to God active in the world around us. And then he says, which I always think is kind of confusing, And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Oh, the things our church has done with this passage. I don't know if they're right or not, but I've always kind of thought that the rock on which Jesus builds the church is the rock of faith. And when I was thinking about it, because we so often want to just build it on Peter and how the succession goes from Peter, from pastor to pastor. If you've been touched by Peter way back when, it kind of rubs off on each pastor through the lineage. And I don't have that special touch. And maybe you don't either. And does that kind of separate us one from another? And I really think that Jesus here is building on his faith, on his understanding of who this Jesus is and what that means. And from one person understanding, the church can grow. And it made me think back, they talked about Abraham and Sarah in our reading from Isaiah today. You remember that story, Abram and Sarai, how one couple, from one couple came God's chosen people. God from one person, who begins to understand, can build a nation of believers. And I don't mean nation like the United States. I mean like all of creation can come to faith through one person beginning to understand who this Jesus is. And why do I say that? How many of you here have brought someone for baptism? Nobody? This is why the Lutheran Church is going downhill, guys. Anybody been a sponsor or a godparent or a parent who's brought their child to the waters of baptism? That's better. I'm feeling better up here. We bring our loved ones to the water of baptism where they are put to death and raised to new life and made a child of God because of our faith that has been awakened in us through the heard word. But often in the Lutheran church anyway, when we're baptized, we're infants. We don't later remember our baptism. That's somebody else who has faith, who is welcoming us to the family. And we have faith because we have hope that God's word is true for us, right? We might not always understand what's going on and what Jesus intends for us in our lives, but we want his promises to be sure and true, and that's why we trust and bring people to the waters of baptism. And hopefully why we welcome others into our church doors to hear God's word. If Jesus had just been a great man in history, his promises would not be lasting, right? If he just healed the sick, then he wouldn't really be about salvation. He calls us to himself. He gives us his word. He asks us to carry on his ministry so that others might come to faith and be restored to relationship and God our Father. These are his promises for us. You are mine, and I am yours. He promises to forgive our sins, and in that forgiveness, we receive new life. He promised us salvation and life in his name. And he gives us the keys to heaven. And here, I don't really think that they're jingly-jangly keys that we have to put into a lock and turn, but the keys that he has shown us of forgiveness and love and mercy and grace. Because when we share those gifts with one another, we begin to understand more fully who this Jesus is and what that means for all creation. The kingdom of heaven is ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. We have done nothing to deserve it, and we can do nothing to lose it, except for to turn our backs and walk away. So this day, Jesus, the Messiah, who has invited and welcomed you to this place, asks you to lay down your sins and your fears and all those things that weigh you down, and to come to this table, to taste his body broken and his blood poured out for your sake, that you might know life, to be strengthened in this meal, because then you are sent out into the world to declare in word and deed that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and in him we have life. Thanks be to God. Amen.